Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
So how do I address you guys? I know DA, and how does...
Waz.
Just Waz?
Yeah, yep, just Waz. Okay.
I can do that.
That's how he's Waz. Known. That's how he's known throughout America, just Waz.
Waz, okay, that's good. America, like Madonna.
Exactly. Just one name. We don't need no last names and no qualifiers. Waz.
Yeah. Waz. I like exactly. that. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, like just like Madonna. Touch you for the very first time.
It is another Hoops Adjacent episode of the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C. My man Waz Lambre in L.A. Waz! What's up, buddy?
What's going on? I'm good. I'm chilling, man. I'm just happy to be back. You killed it with the jet last week.
That was great. He was so good. Waz, you know, it's funny. Like, I've known Kenny for like 20 years, right? 25 years. And I always forget, because Kenny has a persona. Like, he has that persona of being Kenny Smith. And but sure. you forget, and it's my mistake. It's not his. How much of a student of the game he is. Like, he really knows basketball. Like, it's not a joke to him. Like, it's serious to him. Somebody, and I was going to say this during the show, I just forgot. Like, somebody should make him a coach. Like, he really would be a good coach, I think, because he really does know the game. He understands the game and all those sorts of things, and he can relate to just about everybody, you know?
Right. And you know how that's going to go. The problem is they're going to be like, well, he doesn't have the experience. And
when you're making as much money
as he is, nobody wants to be nobody's assistant.
Right. Exactly. Like, exactly. He ain't no trying chance. To sit on nobody's bench. Like, he's earned the right to, like everybody else has earned the right to be the lead guy. So it'll be interesting. I'll be very curious to see what, and I know he also was thinking about being a GM at some point too. So, you know, he may want to do the GM thing, and he could do that too. I mean, he just really is knowledgeable. He's got an incredible background and history, and taps into a lot of different wells. You know what I mean? So, and by the way, in a couple of weeks, you may actually see us as well as hear us here. We're going to jump into that. Waz, you gotta walk me through it. It's been a minute since I've been on camera. You gotta walk me through some stuff.
No, no, no. You will be walking me through it, Mr. Broadcaster, sir. No, 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 no. You've been on actual TV before. I've been on a cable program once.
Right, but this is more, you know, this is more the for the people YouTube type of run out. So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, it may be some different things I gotta hit. So just stay tuned. Stay tuned. You may see us in a couple of weeks as well as hear us. So we got Seth Davis from The Athletic. We're going to talk about the tournament, of course, with Seth. He's the college basketball guy in a couple minutes. But I want to start with, because Waz wasn't here last week, and you know, that is happened last week, and it's something we wanted to talk about, was our man Myers Leonard down in Miami with the Heat. And the incident with him. Incident. I hate incident. It makes it sound like,
right.
you know, like
I know.
A, like there was a, like a dog
spilled,
bit somebody,
like he
you know
spilled
I mean?
some gravy or something on his pants right, or something.
Right.
Like,
that's an
like,
incident. Right.
This exactly. was a scandal. This was right. a full blown, you know, a happening for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, for those of you who don't know, maybe there's some of you who still don't know, you know, Myers Leonard's with the Heat. He was taking part in some, you have to explain this to me. I'm old. I don't understand what he's doing.
He was playing video games online, as most video gamers now do. They play against strangers via the internet, but simultaneously he was streaming himself playing video games online on a platform called Twitch. Very popular streaming platform, especially amongst the gamers. Like, there are people who stream on Twitch who aren't gamers, but so much of what goes on Twitch is about streaming gaming. And Myers Leonard being somebody who's really into the gaming, really into the streaming, was streaming himself. And as he was doing that, and, you know, to backtrack, just so people understand, like, a lot of people don't even play with their microphone or earphones in because, specifically because a lot of the online streaming culture is so toxic when it comes to the, you know, horrible language and derogatory language, the racially charged language. This isn't new. This is what happens on Twitch.
It's
literally
terrible
every day.
It's been bad for women forever, right?
I mean, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And Myers Leonard, you know, in his capacity, it felt like watching the stream, like, that this guy forgets that he's an NBA player, which means he's a public figure,
right,
which means he is the public face of a billion-dollar organization.
Right, right.
In his capacity as, like, this is what you have to do on the court, which is set picks and make open threes, Myers Leonard. But that's not all your job entails. Like, being the public face carries into you streaming on Twitch. And in the course of that Twitch, David, he dropped probably the worst slur you can say about a Jewish person known
exactly.
to man.
It's the version, Jewish version of the N-word.
N-word, yeah. It's just what it is.
What
it's
it is. What,
and it's not, you know, it's not as nice as when they call us a shine or,
right.
you know, or whatever.
Like,
it's not as innocuous as that. It's the real, like, you know, charged hate speech. It's just straight up is.
Yeah, the real bad one, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's when these kinds of things happen, David, I'm conflicted in the sense that I don't think there's anything interesting to be gleaned from this. Yeah. You know, what he did was so obviously wrong, horrible, so obviously deserves reprimand. Like, I don't see what the sort of question is, right? People
right.
quibble with his apology right afterwards, which, again, I wasn't impressed by, but I don't know how you got... What could he have possibly said right. 2 days after the fact?
Right.
You know,
right.
what, I've changed or what? Like, what, there's nothing he could do or say after 2 days.
Yeah.
And then the NBA issues their sort of verdict, which is a $50,000 fine. And I couldn't be clear. I don't remember what the reporting was, whether he's sitting out without pay or he's just stepping away from the team.
He's just away from the team. It was worded very, very oddly. It wasn't NBA suspends Myers Leonard for a week or for 2 weeks or whatever. It was Myers Leonard will not be allowed to take part in team activities for a week, which is... It's the same thing. It's just worded differently and kind of
sure. And you know, because yeah. with typical suspensions, and you know, we'll talk about this at another time. I mean, related to this, for instance, Ron Artest,
right.
when he got cooked for the season after yeah, jumping yeah. into the crowd, he didn't get paid.
Right.
He lost the money. He lost the season. He had the public yeah. embarrassment and the shame and all of that went through it. So I wasn't sure if Myers Leonard was suspended for 2 weeks without pay, which again, which is what I wanted to talk to you about, DA, because I'm interested to know your perspective, is if this guy, if this is what actually happened, if he got fined $50K and is suspended for 2 weeks, meaning 2 weeks worth of game checks, which is probably about 4, 5, 6 game checks.
It's with pay.
Oh,
looking
so it's
up,
with
looking at it right
it's
now.
With
suspension
pay.
Does not include loss of pay for games.
Right. That, which, you know, again, and so, you know, for me, the response online was kind of that the NBA was somehow not punitive enough
mm-hmm.
in their response. And I'm not going to lie, I'm somebody who reacts negatively to that line of thinking because we've seen what happens when they do, like, this heavy-handed nature to right. or approach to things from the league office oftentimes results in bad things. Like, we've seen the heavy-handedness from, you know, the now-deceased David Stern during his tenure.
Right.
For me, I'm like, I'm sort of proud of the union for not letting the NBA come down on this guy. I don't know if people want him to be fired, to never be playing in the league again for this. I'm sorry. I don't think that that's the remedy or that's the answer. And that's not to defend what what Miles Turner did was so obviously horrible, but like, does that mean that he does not deserve to have a job ever again? I vehemently disagree with that, you know?
Yeah, you know what, Waz? I don't think he should have been like released or, you know, like, cut or anything like that. I mean, I don't think so. You know, I remember Kobe Bryant got fined $100,000 when he uttered an anti-gay slur toward a referee. Many years ago, he didn't get, nobody said Kobe Bryant should be like released from the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean, people, I think speech, while obviously very hurtful to people, has rarely risen to the level where a guy or a player on a team gets fired essentially for something they said. I'm sure that there'll be on Twitter hundreds of examples that will come out after this. But it's hard for me to remember when a guy was released and just didn't play in the league anymore after something he said. Now, where right. the only problem I have with this is Myers Leonard, like everybody who winds up having to atone or apologize, says, well, I didn't know what the word meant.
I mean,
well, why'd you say it then?
Are we really doing this?
First of all, you're 29 years old. What do you mean you don't know what to word?
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like,
listen, if you look up where Myers Leonard is from,
yeah,
he's from the Illinois, Indiana.
Right.
Border.
Home of the KKK, Indiana?
I mean, like, it's like this idea that he doesn't know what that word means.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's from. And that's not to what, like, and this is another thing that people need to understand, because I'm from where I'm from in New York City, which is a heavily Jewish population.
Yeah.
I have heard with my own ears.
Yeah.
Ethnically white people, i.e. yeah. Italian, Irish, Polish, yeah. Greek, whatever, refer to Jewish people in this manner, been confused, like, aren't you all white, whatever right. type of thing. So this idea that Myers Leonard never heard it or knows what it means where he's from, really?
Just think about this logically. Under what circumstance would you say something and you don't know what the word means? Why would you do that? Like, seriously, why would you ever do that in any context, in any discourse with anybody? Why would you throw a word out that you don't know what it means?
That you just straight up don't know what it means.
I'm just going to, like, make up a word, you know. Flargenlurgen. Like, right. I'm just going to say Flargenlurgen.
I'm just
going to
keep
somebody.
Saying it.
You know what I mean?
It like, doesn't ascribe what the mean, like, what do I think it means when right. I say it, even if I don't know the textbook right. or the traditional
right.
what
do I, yeah. why, definition? Why would you do that? Like, there's literally no reason for any human being to ever do that. You know, so come on, stop it.
Yeah.
So,
again, I would love to see Myers Leonard come out after some time and some actual work and be like, yo, here's what I learned from this.
Right.
You know,
right.
Here's why this is messed up. Here's why I was wrongheaded. Here's where I went down a wrong path of not understanding why I shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. But to me, that would take time. It's
right,
not something
right.
he could do in 2 days or 2 weeks.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
right.
And lastly, really what I wanted to say is, because of so much of the reaction that I've seen online to the punishment, is so many people who participate with the NBA as a sport are self-described, self-proclaimed, progressive,
right? Yeah, sure.
Quote-unquote liberal people.
Mm-hmm.
And that instinct that makes them react to being disgusted by what Myers Leonard said is something they would describe as liberal or progressive. Like, the reason why it hurts me, even if I'm not Jewish, is because I'm progressive. I get why you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
But then they turn around and want to see the most reactionary, authoritarian response right, to something.
Right.
I'm like, y'all got to pick a side. Are you fucking liberal, progressive, or are you reactionary?
Right,
and you
right,
just
right.
want to see this guy's head chopped off,
right,
you know?
Right,
and
right.
so that's what, you know, that's what struck me about the Myers Leonard thing. It's like, of course this is horrible. Of course
right.
he should be reprimanded. Of course he should be ridiculed publicly for what he did and he said. And sidebar, D, I'm kind of happy that guys like Jimmy Butler didn't jump in front of the train for him.
Right.
I was like, nah, I'm not saving him. No, no. I like seeing that.
You're on your own.
You know, he's going to have to swim. Yeah. No life vest for you. You're going to have to learn to swim, brother. Because we got to do this every day.
Right.
So I like that. But I would just caution people to be like, look, man, yeah, we got to point out when things are wrong. But we don't want to also be the people that want to be extremely punitive and like just reactionary.
I will get, I don't disagree with that, Waz. I mean, I hope he takes Julian Edelman up. I know Julian Edelman kind of reached out to him on social and said, hey, let's go have a dinner sometime and we can talk and all that. I hope he takes people up on that. I'm sure other people have reached out to him too to understand, look, dude, this is why you can't say this shit, okay? Like, you can't say these things. Like, you've got to understand why this is really hurtful to a lot of people, you know, and to kids, you know, that look up to you and want to be like you, you know? So I hope he takes people up on that. I don't want to get into the cliche about it being a teachable moment and all that nonsense. I just want him to do better. Just be better. As a result of this, you know, and then to me, the proof is in the pudding or the rubber meets the road. The next time Myers Leonard's in back home with his boys and somebody drops a slur in casual conversation, you going to step to that guy or you going to be quiet? You know, that's when I need you to be an ally. So that's when we'll know if this is real for Myers Leonard or not. You know?
Well, it's one of those things because again, we had something similar like this with what's his name? The wide receiver, Jackson.
Deshaun Jackson, yeah.
He shared some anti-Semitic literature under the guise of like he's learning stuff or whatever. Right. And people had to get at him, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen a bunch of this stuff happen, and I think people need to just get better and be better about it. I don't think we do anybody any services by just going nuts about it.
Right.
And pretending what Myers Leonard does actually matters. I mean, whatever. You know, it is what it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. The moral of the story, kids, is don't say words you don't know. Just don't do that. You know, if you're like, I wonder if this, if you say, I wonder if this word, don't use it. Don't use it.
Man, it's just crazy. And, you know, we don't even get into the stuff where, because I had to have this type of conversation with somebody. Which, as a black person, the things that get used to denigrate you, you're stupid, you're shiftless, you're not smart, you're not thrifty, you're not this. Like, those same, like being the opposite of those get weaponized against Jewish people. So you think, I'm paying you guys a compliment. You guys always stick together and plot and plan, you know, together. Right. And it's like, guys, no. That's not a compliment. That's
it's not good.
They've like killed Jewish people for that stereotype.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Millions of them.
So it's not even like one of those confusing type of things where like affluence is seen as bad and lack of it is seen as bad for us. You know what I mean? That disconnect, I understand that because I've lived it and I've seen it and I've talked to people about it. Where it's like, wait, it's a bad thing to say that Jewish people have great jobs, they're lawyers and doctors, and like that's bad.
Right.
I'm like, it's bad.
It is.
You know, and so it's not even that type of confusion. Myers Leonard is just calling people bad words.
Like. Right. And white people, no, you can't use the N-word. No, you can't. Sorry. Not in any context whatsoever. No. Zero. No. So that's our lesson for today. We'll take a quick minute here and we'll bring Seth Davis in to talk about the tournament.
Let's bring DA into the conversation here.
Welcome to Who
Comma Is
Adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs. It's like the most in his bracket. No, I was transported right back into it. I was like, oh, this is great.
I think I rap better than Shaq.
David Aldridge.
Oh, he's totally playing. Yes. And then he kept their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping in
there. Wozni Lembre.
So the Chicago and Detroit stuff, that was real.
That was real.
I mean, God forbid we don't have scholarship money that can't pay for the charters for the water polo in Iowa.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoops.
5, 4, we have ignition.
The comma is.
We have left off. We have left off.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back. We are joined now by my man, the legendary college basketball writer, TV star, analyst, author. If you ever get to read his book, Wooden, on John Wooden, it's fantastic. It is fantastic. I mean, I'm serious. It is awesome. Seth Davis. My man, what's up, Seth? How you doing, buddy?
DA, how you doing? Waz, how are you guys today? March Madness coming.
I'm good. I'm excited, Seth. But first question, because we got a college basketball expert on here, I understand why we have to do the NCAA tournament, like March Madness. This is big business, big money. I get what we're doing with that.
Big money.
Why are we doing the NIT? I just don't understand that.
Slightly less big money.
It's certainly not for the money. No. So let's acknowledge that that's not being done for the money, because not only are we doing, or should you say they're doing the NIT.
They're doing the CBI, right?
They're doing the CBI, but they're also doing all kinds of sports are being played right now. As is always the case, you know, the only two sports that have any chance of making money are football and men's basketball.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that the NCAA actually does that not only do they not do it for the money, but they're also really bad bottom line money enterprises. They're good for the NCAA. They're certainly good for the kids who are playing.
Right. But you got to pay to get in the CBI. That's not like largesse. Yeah, I know. You got to pay money to get in the CBI.
I know. But kids love to play ball. What else are they going to do?
Right,
man?
Right.
Give them a chance to play. The answer is, Waz, it's a great event. I guess they're shrinking the field to 16 teams, and kids want to play. Anytime they give kids a chance to play, that's what they want to do.
Yeah,
I hear that.
So. I guess so. But we're talking about the big dance, and I always qualify. Anytime I talk to anybody, any college basketball people about the big dance, I always preface it, Waz and Seth, by saying, I'm a small college guy. I'm a proud graduate of the American University Patriot League school. So I always am going to come at this from the small schools, from the little guys getting their chance in the sun, which is why I'm starting with the Colgate Raiders, Seth Davis, and why why they're taking out Arkansas in the first round.
So, you know, I don't know if you saw the end of the selection show there, but apparently all of Arkansas did. And just so you know, Twitter's working just fine in the state of Arkansas. I can certainly report that. You know, I was overcome in the moment. You know, do you ever tell a girl I love you a little too soon? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got caught up in the dance and the lighting. And she's like, yeah, I got to go. I got an Uber outside, but I'll take that under advisement. You know, it's actually been kind of a funny dialogue in college basketball, because we have this metric that the NCAA now uses called the net.
Yeah.
And Colgate's been in the top 10 of the net, because it's been a quirk. Obviously, it's been an unusual season. The Patriot League didn't have a non-conference.
Right. Well, Army season. And Navy did, but nobody else did. Right.
Yeah, there you go. Figure that out. Yeah. So for mathematical reasons that are way over my head that I don't quite understand, all I know is that's why they were ranked so high. Right. They didn't play. I think they played 15 games, but they only played 5 teams all year. So do that
math. Right. That's right. That's basically right. Yeah.
But there is also a reason they are ranked that high. I mean, their metrics were off the charts, and they're the second highest scoring team in the country to Gonzaga. And, you know, I got to watch them a little bit in the Patriot League tournament, and they look pretty good. Now, of course, they're playing other Patriot League teams. Right. And Arkansas, you know, could go both ways. I mean, really, the way to beat a team like Arkansas is to try to slow them down and grind it out. So, but Colgate's happy to run and gun with Arkansas, too. And you know what? Every tournament, there's one game that you're like, holy cow, how did that happen? And so maybe that's the one. I can only tell you that, you know, after the selection show and I looked on Twitter and I saw what was happening, I sent a text to Eric Musselman that just said, you're welcome. And he immediately texted me back with already the video clip of me saying that, and a text that says, we're going to show this to our team every film session. So I think it's probably going to be 50-3 by the first TV timeout. And once again, America will have fun at my expense.
No,
I live to serve.
I've watched Colgate's been in 4 straight Patriot League championship games. They've won 2. It's a veteran group. Elijah Burns, I can't remember who they played last year. He gave him 30. That's all I remember. He gave him 30. So this kid can play. So they can, and they can make threes. So we'll see. I mean, I think Arkansas will probably win, but it'll be entertaining. I'll give you
that. Suffice it to say, if the good news is for everybody, if Colgate does win, you will never see or hear from Seth Davis again. I will. Costanza, drop the mic. I'm out the door. I am gone. I'm going to be a homeless guy under a bridge telling everybody about my pick.
All right. So are you, I'm happy that Duke's not in the tournament. I'm happy that some of these, that Kentucky's not in the tournament. I like seeing other teams like in Illinois get a little shine for them, you know, for once. I'm not one of these people that's like, what will the tournament be like without Duke and Kentucky? It'll be the tournament. You know, somebody great will play great and somebody will win. What's the hang up? So do you see any residual problems with those teams not being in?
I would say it's a problem, but I would say the reason why you're happy they're not in is because you don't run a television network that is putting on this tournament. So, you know, listen, remember, there was no tournament last year, so we are trying to get maximum eyeballs.
It
does have an effect on the ratings. I mean, when Duke and Kentucky is in the Final Four, the ratings are definitely going to be higher.
Right.
It will have zero impact, as you said, on the quality of basketball, the quality of the tournament. You know, I always love to quote our mutual friend Bob Ryan. You know, remember him saying, and, you know, because people say, well, you know, all these guys are turning pro and there are no stars in college basketball. And his line is the NCAA tournament doesn't need stars. The NCAA tournament makes stars. Yeah. And it will make stars. I mean, who, you know, aside from nerds like us, I mean, who knew who Stephen Curry was before they made their run? And
that was the birth of Georgetown's ass, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. There you go. Second round. Right. So, it's going to be – listen, it's been, from a basketball competitive storyline standpoint, it's been an unbelievable season. Obviously, we've had the disruptions, and it was always, you know, that underlying fear and bad flashbacks. You know, people aren't quite locked into the fact that college basketball is the only sport that got canceled. Everybody else found a way to finish their season or truncate their season. They found a way to get it done. So it's been amazing watching these games. These kids – I cannot say enough, guys – what these players have been through, following all the protocols. I mean, Waz is a little bit more recent than you, but D.A. and I barely remember what it was like actually being in college. And the idea of sitting in your room and not being able to socialize and have fun for
impossible.
A full year.
Weeks?
All for the ability to play. So yeah, it's been great. The games have been great, and the games will be great in the tournament.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, Seth, is that I'm a bit of the opposite of DA. I don't know if it's just my New York City instincts, like the Cinderella's is cute until the Sweet 16. Like, we'll let you guys have a little Sweet 16 run. Anything past the Sweet 16, I don't want it.
You ain't trying to see Loyola in the Final Four.
No, I want to see my Dukes, Kentucky's, Kansas, you know, UCLA, Arizona's. That's what I want to see. I want to see my UConn's, my Syracuse's. You know, because that was back in the days, that's what I would root for. I would root for great outcomes for the Big East, right? Like, even when St. John's didn't make it, I wanted to see Syracuse do well. I wanted to see Nova do well. I want to see, you know, Providence do well. And it was nice.
If only so you could root against them.
Exactly. And it was nice when George Mason had their little run, but I was depressed when they beat UConn in the Elite Eight.
That was one of the great moments in the history of basketball. My man jumped on the table. It was awesome.
I talked to Rudy Gay about that game like last year, and he was like, I still think about that game. He's still losing sleep over that George Mason loss.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the ideal scenario is when you have a good mix. Like the Duke Butler championship game, I think, is exactly what you wanted. It came down to a half court. I always say, like, if Gordon Hayward's shot went in, half court buzzer beater for Butler to beat Duke in Indianapolis, like, where would that have ranked in the greatest sports moments of all time? Got to be top five.
Leitner shot, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? I think so too. So, well, it's, you know, it's, listen, whatever it is, none of us have control over, you know, who's making it through the bracket. So, but I agree with you, Waz. I think it's good to have, if you have all these great upsets in the first round, everyone gets real excited, but then you start looking at the Sweet 16 matchups and you're like, it's not as interesting. So you want one or two Cinderellas and then you want the big brands to carry you through.
All right. Well, you got some big brands making the Final Four in your bracket. It's available on theathletic.com, and we've got this special offer for the next few weeks or months, or $1 a month.
There you go, DA.
If you're a new subscriber to The Athletic, you can read Seth on college basketball. You can read NBA stuff, trade deadlines next week. You can read all the free agency in the NFL. You can read spring training in baseball. It's nuts right now in sports. And so for $1 a month, you can jump in on that. But Seth, you've got Gonzaga, Baylor, Alabama, and Illinois. You got Gonzaga and Illinois in the title game, and the undefeated Zags winning it all. Why do you like the Zags?
Well, you know, I actually normally don't like to go with a favorite, as per my Colgate pick, you know, try to go against the grain. And I knew that everybody was going to pick the Zags. And so for a while, I was really looking and efforting for other teams that I would pick, to win this championship. Now, the one that I was riding for a while was Baylor. Largely right. Because of their defense. I mean, those guys are absolute killers. A little bit undersized up front, but they're used to that. And you can overcome that with a lot of intangibles, all of which they have, and the number one three-point shooting team in the country. They went through a three-week COVID pause. Now, there are different levels, by the way, of COVID pauses. Level one is when you miss a couple of games because other teams have COVID issues. So you're still practicing the whole time. You might go a week or two without games. Level two is when you have contact tracing issues where people aren't sick, but they have to shut it down. That's what happened at Michigan. They got the variant in the athletic department and they shut it down for 2 weeks, but then they got a full week of practice before they played again. So they really kind of didn't miss a beat. Level three is when you shut down because a lot of your own people got the virus. So not only are you losing that time, and you guys know for high level athletes to miss a week or two where you're sitting out, that's hard to come back from. On top of that, you got guys who are sick. So they may be back in the gym. They may be clear of the virus, but it takes a couple of weeks to get over being sick. And, you know, so that's what Baylor went through. So they have not been the same team they were before the pause, not even close. What they really need is practice. Now they're going to have a week to get into practice and try to get that edge back. So I kind of backed off of them a little bit. Obviously, I love the way Illinois, no team's been playing better the last 3 weeks than Illinois. I mean, for them to go into Ann Arbor, spank Michigan by 23 points without Ayo Dosunmu, it's the perfect example of a team getting better because of an injury. He was only out for three games. Right. Other guys stepped up. They won. They gained confidence. And then he came back with enough time to get through games to reacclimate him. And now that everybody's better. At the end of the day, I just kept picturing Gonzaga and the way they play on the offensive end. The way that ball moves, the way they shoot it. Corey Kispert is lights out. Yeah. Jalen Suggs is a type of one-and-done lottery pick they've never had. And they have a legit post guy in Drew Timmy who they can play off of. So they're checking every single box. They're very good defense. They're not great, but they're very good defensively. But the way they move that ball offensively and – so, you know, I think it's their time. I mean, it's amazing. I'd love if you guys have any other examples in any sport at any level where you have a small school, private Jesuit college, Spokane, Washington, every year, 20 years now, dominating the sport, playing. They were one possession away from winning a national championship in 2017, and now it's 4 years later, and they're going in as the number one seed undefeated. It's incredible. And with everything the sport's been through, it just feels very fitting that it would end with the first, not only the first undefeated champion since 1976, but to have it be Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's crazy. You literally took the words out of my mouth because I remember reading a piece. I think we did the piece. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the writer, but they basically took us through the timeline of, you know, Gonzaga just being this outpost all the way in the middle of nowhere to, you know, that first sort of run that got them on the map, to Dan Dickow, to all the things that Gonzaga has become, to now where, you know, they're getting these high level McDonald's All-American guys coming in, one and done type of guys. Yeah. And now they're undefeated on the cusp of a championship. It's just a crazy it's an amazing story, honestly, especially when you consider a sport like college basketball where it's been the same teams dominating for years. People don't just come in and upset that paradigm. It's been Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, you know, basically from time immemorial. And for Gonzaga to step in, that is kind of a miracle.
It's amazing, and I just feel like we take it for granted. Other people take it for granted. They'll get Zag every, and now it's like, well, how come they haven't won a championship? Like, do you understand what we're talking? They were one possession away in the final game against North Carolina, and while to me it really speaks to as great a coach as Mark Few is, you know, that old notion that, you know, it takes a village. I mean, Spokane is the perfect size city. They don't have football at the school. They don't have football in town. So everyone's nutso for basketball. Right. It's a big enough city that they have the resources to support, but it's not so big like a New York City where the college teams get lost. It's not a pro town. Right. And so what happened, you know, a lot of teams have made a run in the tournament at the mid-major level. That's not that infrequent. So 1998, they go to the Elite Eight. Two things happened. First of all, Dan Monson was the coach of that team. He left, as he absolutely should have done. He got, I think he went from making $105 a year to over $800 at Minnesota. Mm, yeah. And then after, I think, 7 years, he was fired midway through his seventh year at Minnesota. So Mark Few saw that and said, you know, Grass, I got this here. Like, right. So every year. But then what was important that happened was the university and the community invested in the program. They built an arena. They travel as well as any team travels. Right. And now they have the financial support, the marketing. They paid Few enough. Of course, he had to turn down bigger money, but he understood, I can have everything that I want here. If you guys can make this place like a UCLA, like an Arizona, like then let's keep building it up. Recruiting, they recruit internationally, supporting his assistants. And then the fans are incredible. I mean, the fans, when they built that arena, they still to this day have not had a basketball game there, including exhibitions where it wasn't sold out. That's not a huge arena, but it's still sold out for everyone.
What's the capacity there?
I think it's like, I want to say 9, 10-ish.
That's perfect, you know,
it's
not for them, big. Yeah, because it's always going to be sold out.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a mistake. How many times
and
you see that? You
know who made that mistake? Still a lot for indoor hoop game.
Right.
It's still a crowd.
It's cold in Spokane. I don't know if you've ever been to Spokane in wintertime, but in LA where I live, I can tell you.
You know, Mark Few actually reminds me of myself, guys. Like, people always ask me, why don't you live in West Hollywood or Venice or Santa Monica? I'm like, no, I like it here in the valley. Man, I like it over here in the sticks. So I can relate to Mark Few when people are like, you don't want to live in Beverly Hills? You know, look, man, I like it over here in the valley. Yeah, stop dissing the valley.
You. I'm with you on that one.
All right. Yeah. So
great story.
Give me lower than the four line. Is there someone lower than the four line that you go, they got a shot?
UConn. I got them over Maryland. In the first round, and I do have them losing to Alabama in the second. Okay. But again, similar to what I was saying with the Sumu, UConn is a great example of a team that got better because of an injury. They have an absolutely dynamic lottery pick in James Bouknight, 6'5" sophomore. Not a great pure shooter per se, but a scorer and an athlete. And so he missed 8 or 9 games because of elbow surgery. And during that time, everybody had to get better. And then he came back and they got reacclimated, took a couple of games, and now they're rolling. Now, they almost got Creighton in the Big East tournament and ended up losing that game. But they are absolutely tenacious defensively. I mean, we know about Danny Hurley and his family, straight out of Jersey City. Mm-hmm. I mean, they fight you. They're great on the glass. They're one of the best shot blocking teams in the country. Play at actually a slower pace than you would guess. And so they're tough. If they're making shots, they're going to be awfully hard to beat. You know, Michigan State to me is an interesting team. I was really surprised that they ended up in the first four. I thought that was just not right. I mean, that's a team that they've beaten 2 number one seeds and a number two seed in Ohio State and still ended up in that game. So they got UCLA and then BYU and then potentially Texas in the second round. And I mean, that Big Ten was just really, really difficult, obviously.
Yeah.
And so I think they're battle tested, and you never want to bet against Tom Izzo. I'll give you a couple more. UCSB and Ohio, I like both of them in their first round games. Now, Virginia, as we all know now, has had major issues with quarantine. Right. So they're going to bring their team, but they're coming way late. And those guys
they're coming Friday, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is by coincidence their first round game was on Saturday, not Friday. I'm sure that fell however, but they're not going to be the same. And Ohio has a dynamic guard named Jason Preston, who has an unbelievable story. He's from Florida. He scored, how's this for a stat? He scored a total of 52 points in high school. Total. Wow. 52 points. And, you know, one of these small, under-recruited, went through some personal difficulties, ended up at Ohio U, and has had a great career. Gruesome, obviously, when he was there. UCSB, I actually have in the Sweet 16. They've lost one game in the calendar year 2021. And then a team that I have going to the Elite Eight is San Diego State.
Okay,
they're in a section of the bracket, guys, that is really rock'em sock'em. You're talking about West Virginia, Clemson, Rutgers, Houston. Those are teams you want with you in the bunker. They're very physical, tough teams. And San Diego State, I think, is the best of the bunch. I have them going to the Elite Eight. They went through a little bit of a dip with an injury issue, but they coasted through a very, very good Mountain West Conference, old team that knows how to score, a couple of really high-end marksmen in Terrell Gomez and Jordan Shackle. So I got San Diego State of the Elite Eight.
All right. So you've got you've got some – I saw you had a couple of 12-5s. And did you have – you had a couple 13-4s also, right, in the first round?
Well, I'm looking at my bracket. I had I've got Winthrop beating Villanova, and that's a very, very popular pick. Winthrop is only lost one game all year, and it came by 2 points. And Villanova, you know, Villanova had an injury, obviously, with Colin Gillespie, so that's a big problem. But they weren't playing so great with him by their standards. By their standards, the game before he got hurt, they shot 2 for 27 from three and lost at Butler. And Butler is not a tournament team.
Right.
So that was another one that I had my eye on as a potential upset. So my 13 seed DA was Ohio over Virginia. And of course, your 2021 national champion Colgate Red Raiders beating Arkansas in the first round. Shocking the world.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So you've seen this season, you know, up close and obviously, you know, from afar as well. And I just wonder, does this feel like a season to you, given all the stops and starts? And I come back to my school. We played 10 games. We played the fewest games in the country. We've got 10 games in, some of which we had COVID, our opponents had COVID, everybody had COVID, you know, we just couldn't play. And I know this is throughout basketball where teams just shut it down for 10 days to 2 weeks. Does it feel like a season? I'm not saying it's unfair. I'm just saying does it feel like a season?
No, listen, I mean, it's a very fair question. I mean, I have to say the answer is yes. I mean, and this might partly because I was very clear-eyed about what the sport was up against, but given where we are and given the high, I mean, it was over 80% of games were played. I think the average number of games was 23. I would have definitely signed up for that at the start of the year. And I also have to say, and I think this went back to the NBA bubble when they started up, that I know the atmosphere of the arenas hasn't been as good. Home court advantage has not been as big of an advantage this year for that reason. But from a viewer's experience, it doesn't look that much different.
No, you know, you can't really tell.
You're watching the game.
I mean, you can't really tell.
I mean, how fun was the NBA playoffs? I mean, those are some great, great basketball. Yeah. So obviously you missed that. And it was actually kind of interesting because towards the end of the season, as things were opening up a little bit, you know, you did have, you know, like Allen Fieldhouse all of a sudden has 2,000 people as opposed to the usual 16. And it was like, great. I mean, people were going nuts. Right, so when you do have a little bit of fan presence in there, now it really becomes magnified, but it felt, you know, it was a little bit weird with the disruptions. And then you had, you know, Duke and Kentucky and Michigan State and Kansas for a time was struggling. So it felt a little bit odd, but again, I mean, it's the Tuesday before the start of the NCAA tournament and March Madness is happening and it's really exciting and really gratifying. And I'm just thrilled for these players who had it taken away from them a year ago. And they got a chance to do the thing they love most, which is compete for a championship.
So, Seth, you mentioned two things. One, that the NCAA tournament makes stars, which we all know is completely true. You mentioned Steph Curry. He sort of broke out his sophomore season, and, you know, he was just a genius. I remember specifically because I mentioned that UConn team. Before they played George Mason, they played University of Washington. And I didn't really know much about Brandon Roy. Like, I think, you know, Chad Ford had him going in the first round. But that UConn game, like, this is UConn. Like, they got athletes. Like, these dudes pride themselves on defense. They could not do shit with Brandon Roy. And I remember thinking, like, this guy's freaking great. And, of course, you know, before injuries derailed him, he showed in the NBA that he was a big-time player. He just didn't have that sort of spotlight on him.
He just didn't have cartilage, knee cartilage. That was the only problem.
Turns out you need that. No, I remember that game. Wasn't that the game where UConn won that on like a fall-away shot in,
yeah,
in the lane?
Yeah, somebody flipped it in at the last second.
Well, would that have been Rip Hamilton maybe? Or?
Oh, was that? No, I think that was after Rip.
Maybe it was later.
I think that was after. We were trying to remember when they lost that game. That was the game where the dude flipped the shot in at the end, right?
When they beat Washington with Brandon Roy?
Yeah, yeah.
It was Rudy. It was Josh Boone. It was Marcus
Denham Brown
Williams.
And all those guys. Yeah, yeah,
Denham,
yeah,
okay, Brown.
No, it was Hilton Rip Hamilton. Armstrong. It was. I'm going on Google.
I don't think Rip was on that team.
That's a separate time they beat.
Rudy Gay was the best player on that team. Rudy Gay was the guy. And Josh Boone was like the second guy. I remember.
Yeah,
that.
No. But what Seth is saying, in 98, they had a big game against UW too.
Oh, yeah.
Am I thinking about a different? Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Because Mason was 04, I want to say.
Mason 2004. Was 06, I think.
06. Okay, that sounds 06. About right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my UW friends, they feel snake bitten by UConn. Absolutely.
I hope everyone goes out there and YouTubes the Rip Hamilton Sweet 16 against Washington. That was a great.
Yes, that was the one where he threw
the runner
in.
The tournament.
Yes, at the end. Yes. You are right about that, Seth. You're right about that. Who will excite people in this tournament that they may not know? But everybody knows Cade Cunningham's great. Everybody knows Suggs is great. You know what I mean? But who is going to go? You're going to go. Damn, that kid can play.
Well, I don't know. You know, again, you guys follow the NBA super closely and the draft boards. I don't know. You know, for a guy who's been unbelievable, Evan Mobley at USC,
right.
I don't hear a lot of people talking about him now. They're out here on the best coast, right, Waz?
Yes, sir.
You know, kind of under the radar. USC got ranked late in the year and then fell back out. So he was named Pac-12 Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and Freshman of the Year.
Right.
And the last guy to do that in a major conference was Anthony Davis, who went on to be pretty good.
Right.
So Evan Mobley, to me, is a guy that I think will stand out. And I guess people have seen DeSumo. You know, Purdue is another team that I like a lot, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a big-time big man in 6'10", Trevion Williams as a junior. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing about college basketball is there's definitely a place, and this has been a great year for this, by the way, for traditional back to the basket centers.
Garza.
And, you know, Luka Garza, of course, being the best example.
Yeah.
And, you know, college hoops has gone through this in the last couple of rules cycles about they always examine, well, should we make the lane wider? Should they go to the trapezoid like the international like used to be, or go to the NBA lane? And there's a big school of thought led by Mike Krzyzewski, largely because of his USA basketball experience, to make everything uniform. And then there's also thought, well, if the NBA does it, it must be right. Like, I don't like, I know you guys are gonna disagree. Do you like the inbounding the ball at half court for a timeout in the NBA? You like that?
Not really.
I like it because it makes it more likely that you get a normal possession, you know, rather than somebody dribble. Like, that's so disorienting at times. But I mean,
have to actually dribble the ball at the court.
Yeah.
Like, these are the greatest players in the world, but 94 feet's too long. Like, short enough. But Point being, they looked at making the lane wider and they said, we're going to leave it as it is because we want to preserve the role of the back to the basket big man. So you have a Luka Garza, you have an Evan Mobley, you have a Kofi Coburn at Illinois, you have a Trevion Williams at Purdue, as well as 7'4" freshman Zach Edey. Florida State, who I have beating Michigan, they are the tallest team in the country. Michigan led by Hunter Dickinson, who's a 7'1" center who's just had an unbelievable season.
I was completely wrong about Hunter Dickinson. I say this every time I saw him. Because
he's the Matha, right?
He's the Matha guy. So I went him as a junior and I went. I literally said, maybe he can play in the CAA. Maybe. I was so stupid wrong about Hunter Dickinson.
I know. That's why we're here and they're there. But they make mistakes too. But you know what? Nobody anticipated he would have the season that he had. So, you know, he's a guy that could break out as well. So I'm really looking forward to watching him play.
Yeah, I'm excited about, I hope that Garza and Mobley play. Is it the 16 they'd play in? I hope they get
to the 16. That would be a Sweet 16. And by the way, we could have Cade Cunningham against Io DeSumo in the Sweet 16 as well. And by the way, let me just talk about Cade Cunningham for a second. A couple things. First of all, here's a guy who came in with ridiculous hype and then he exceeded it.
Yeah.
Both in terms of his play, his ability to accrue great statistics, help his team win, and then his maturity, his class, and his comportment have been across the board A+. But let's remember, Oklahoma State last summer was hit with a postseason ban. And so everybody just assumed that meant they were not going to play in the postseason, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And Cade decided. Now, his brother's an assistant coach, but certainly they said to him, hey, whatever you want to do. And the NCAA said, by the way, that those kids can transfer in the program and play wherever they want and not have to sit out. Cade said, I'm not going to the G League. I'm not going overseas. I'm not going to whoever else school. I'm coming to Oklahoma State where my brother is, and I'm going to follow through on my commitment. And now, so they appealed the postseason ban, which is a very, very low success rate because the NCAA hears your appeal, right? The NCAA gives you the ban and then you go back to appeal it to the NCAA. It's different people, but the NCAA. And they are playing, not because they won their appeal, but because it hasn't been ruled on yet. They had the hearing, but the penalty does not go into effect until the appeal is denied.
Right.
So they could still get a postseason ban next year, but they are playing unless they deny their appeal between now and Friday, which would not be the best PR move.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So God bless Cade Cunningham. The way he played, his class, and the fact that he rolled the dice and came anyway, and nobody would have anticipated that it worked out like this.
It's worked out
great. I root for him.
I hope he has a long run. And speaking of long runs, you're about to start yours with March Madness. Seth Davis, thank you, my man. I know you got 100 of these to do between now and the start of the tournament on Thursday. So, man, big, big thanks for jumping on the show.
Thank you, Seth.
I love you guys. And how great is it to work at The Athletic, man? What a company. And
it's pretty cool.
A quote from Hamilton, look around. How lucky we are to be alive right now. So, amen.
You got it.
I'm not going to sing it. I could.
Yeah.
And I could do the whole show if you want by heart. But let's just leave with that on that note.
Safe travels to you, my man. And thanks,
thank
everybody.
You guys. Thank you, Oz.
Thanks, everybody, for joining in this week. Leave that 5-star review. And, you know, if you have a 1-star, keep it to yourself, homie. All right. Later.
All right. Later, y'all.